Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome back, travelers, to the Lucky Die. Previously, Laffian translates, Ralph finds his gift from Aima, Squash stretches his survival skills, and Zoltana was the god making fun. In the trenches of the desert, the team traverses new dangers, a lack of water, and giant ambush spiders. But by combining their skills in perception, god magic, and teleportation, they make it to the fort of the world unscathed, only to find that there are people waiting for them. Are the giant ambush spiders capable of using tools? Who is Lethera? And what on Bikron is waiting in the forge? I guess we're about to find out. Welcome back to the Lucky Die.
You are all sitting together at a campsite. The sun is beginning to set. You are on the top of a trench looking down into what remains of a very large, now abandoned camp. You are sitting with two tabaxi and a drow. The drow seems chatty, well-built, happy to talk with you. Somewhat defensive. One of the tabaxi is clearly very old and they are grey and streaks of white in them. You can see that they are scarred across their face and across their paws. And the other one just seems kind of tired, just exhausted. They look very thin and very starved. They offer you food at their camp, which is something slightly bigger than a raccoon. And Ral is passed out on a nearby bed. What do you want to do?
Wake up, Ral. We need a translator. That's not me.
That's something we could do?
Absolutely.
You just slap him around a little bit.
What? No. Hugs and kisses. I've seen Aima do it.
She smells better, though. We smell like we've been on the road for a while.
But in a dry heat, been on the road good. It's good for your skin.
It's all that sand, the abrasive face wash.
Yep. Ral, you are very able to wake up. You are now with everybody else, just 8 hit points less.
Roll, are you good?
Yeah.
Okay. They know who we are. They know our names.
Yeah.
They're here to help us.
Okay. What? Okay.
There's some food on the fire. Just help yourself.
I'm fine.
All right.
It is evening, so I can probably cast tongues again.
Yep, all of your spell slots came back. I was just messing with you, though. I just burned through all of your fucking
you're,
shit.
You're a big meanie.
Yes, I am. Am I right in assuming that Squash would still be studying in the evening when he can?
Yeah. Okay. That's definitely something that's happening.
Perfect.
I think Squash is going to cast tongues on the drow.
Okay.
That way the drow can talk to us with no problem. And understand us.
Yep, as long as that's like translated to her beforehand, yeah, she accepts and just like looks at you in a bit of like a bewilderment, I guess. She's not seen magic quite like yours before. She says, okay, this probably make things a bit easier. Hey, I'm Lathera.
Lathera, okay.
Hey.
I just wanted you to be able to speak easier, less translating, I guess.
Right.
So, I have a question. What happened here?
There's some not slightly good people in charge here in Kino. And the Blissful Eclipse sort of got involved with Yuan-Ti. And they took over the forge, were making armament and armor and weapons and shit for whoever it is that Kells wanted armored up such a way.
Kells?
Yuan-Ti work for them. Hey, Kells is one of our leaders. She's the only leader now. She's not a good person, from what we can tell. I mean, we've been told us two offered to stay here and the other one needed to stay here to help you out. So, but yeah, the Yuan-Ti were doing the bidding of Kells and of the Blissful Eclipse so they could get more power, because that's kind of a thing that they mostly want. And these people turned up and they took out some big bad people here, and the camp kind of got dispersed after they left. We barely escaped when that happened, so we just came back here a little bit later after everything had been cleared out. It was probably the big creature down there that sent most of them running.
Why are you here to talk to us?
This old man here, Azriel, he knows how to work the forge. He spent a lot of time with these two young kits who, they're just, from what I can tell, they're either conduits to gods or they have a special connection to one of them, of wild creation. And the kits spoke to the old man and he knows how to do what it is that you need to do here. So he's going to help you with that. And, well, I couldn't just leave him.
Understood. So you're here because somebody who was using the forge against the will of the Blissful Eclipse told you to be here.
Right. Seems as good as any, right? Enemy, my enemy.
Yeah. Just kind of wanted to clear or understanding who or why you were here.
I've been here a while. Tyrannus here has been here even longer. When these really nice people turned up, well, most of them are pretty, well, one was really nice, turned up and they helped free us, so.
You said there was a two-headed monstrosity down there.
Hey.
You said that the people who were here before us also used the forge, but now there's this creature there.
Right. Where they left before the creature turned up.
So they did not, like...
They ran off to help someone.
They didn't summon the creature to defend the forge or something?
No.
Okay.
No, they... I don't think they even... Well, maybe one of them might have known how to do it, but I don't think they would have done that.
Okay. And the snake people, what did you call them?
UNT.
The UNT.
Doesn't sound like I'll be able to get their help.
Well, UNT, you don't want their help, mate.
Hmm.
It sounded like they were working with the Blissful Eclipse. But that's not saying much, I guess, since Empty Shallows is working with the Blissful Eclipse at this point.
I mean, so... maybe there's one that doesn't work for the Blissful Eclipse. There has to be someone we can...
There was a UNT that came to help free the camp. I think they might have been with Dendar. I don't really know. But the UNT here, the Blissful Eclipse, or at least they were before they were run out or killed or all the above.
Hmm.
So there is a good UNT out there who worships Dendar.
There's a couple of them. There's a couple of them, so I'm led to believe.
Okay.
Should we try to talk to everyone here before we attack them?
Just the three of us.
Well,
unless some people manage to hide inside the mine and further down in the Earth Dark, it's just the three of us here, and
even
that creature
inside?
Down there.
It sounds like the two-headed creature has ran the UNT out. Which is a semi-blessing, it sounds like, since the UNT were allied with the Blissful Eclipse.
Aye. Huh.
But now we have to deal with it.
Huh. What is it? What can it do?
Well, I know that it's kind of long arms are, they really hurt. And I saw someone, as they were running away, they seemed to lose all comprehension of being able to talk and what people were saying. And I swear, and I don't think I'm going mad. I think I saw more than one of it down there, but I don't think one of them was real, but maybe it was. I don't know.
You've seen the creature?
She nods.
Did you try to fight it?
Fuck no. Fuck no, this thing's massive.
Okay.
I mean, I barely made it out against like the big UNT down here in charge of the camp. And if it weren't for the people that turned up, I never would have killed that either. I'm not fighting this thing. This thing has a fuck ton of magic around it and it's fucking huge.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just kind of curious. What were you doing down there?
When?
Why did you run into it?
So after some of the people who run this camp, they were no longer allowed to be in charge of this camp by the loss of their life. We freed some of the people that were trapped here. They got out, held off some of the UNT for a while, and then the creature turned up.
So you guys were trying to make something off this place when the creature showed up?
She nods. Some of us managed to turn against the UNT, and some of the UNT they turned against the Blissful Eclipse too, but when the creature turned up, everyone just ran.
Every man for himself.
Not exactly. Everyone was trying to help each other out, get out of the way sort of thing. Some people were. Some people reverted to their natural nature. Some people didn't. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but I never learnt the name of your race. And she looks at Skosh.
I'm a halfling.
You mentioned the name before, something Shallows.
Oh yeah, Empty Shallows. Why do you?
Where is that?
What?
Where is it?
It's in Discora. It's tucked in between two big mountains. Why?
All right, that makes a fair bit more sense. Okay.
Why are you asking?
There were some halflings and gnomes and such here, and they didn't speak a good common. Like, I couldn't really understand them that much. They gave it a try. I just wondered where they came from. I thought they were Blissful Eclipse.
They probably were at least worshippers.
Okay.
Empty Shallows has been corrupted by the Blissful Eclipse.
Well, I hope it gets uncorrupted.
Yeah.
All I know really is that you're supposed to use the forge, but there is this big thing in the way. I've been asked not... Well, I can ask questions, but Ezreal kind of suggested that I shouldn't ask too much about what you're actually doing and why.
That's a good...
Good suggestion, yes.
We'll answer what we can.
Well, you might get a bit of a nosebleed or migraine if you...
There's a powerful spell protecting our quest. Let's phrase it like that.
Okay, and... Do you know what? Just point me at something that needs to be killed and I'll help. I just can't do that on my own.
I like your energy.
Thanks.
Do you want to strike vengeance upon the giant creature down below?
Not really. The one that I saw kind of like lose all comprehension of language and just... Yeah, it wasn't...
But what if you could claim bloody vengeance upon it? I know just the person that could help you with that.
You know, most of these muscles are kind of honestly earned. I didn't just go to the gym. I'm normally a blacksmith. I don't really want to do a lot of killing. I just can. It's just, you know, swinging a hammer and swinging a longsword, kind of the same thing, really.
No, that's
I've
fair.
Been saying.
What?
Well, okay, no, I haven't been saying that swinging a hammer and a longsword are the same thing, but I have been saying that swinging a longsword does a lot for your muscles. And
right.
Now I'm kind of like, maybe I should take up blacksmithing.
Well, a lot of it comes down to repeated strength. And if you, it's kind of like throwing a punch. You just got to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And eventually, like, the metal will bend to your will. I mean, I used to have a lot more muscles, but obviously they've waned over time because, you know, been stuck down there.
Okay, yeah, when this is all over, I am 100% going to try blacksmithing.
You should. I've got a place in Freedom's Bluff. You probably don't know where that is, do you?
Shit. I do not. I don't even know where we are right now. I am not good at being temporarily aware of my surroundings.
We're also kind of not welcome in a lot of places here.
Well,
yet.
Maybe when this whole thing blows over. I mean, the treaty's broken. Apparently, someone from Discord came over here and poof, whole thing... Anyway, into the world, fuck it. So if I have to come over to Discord to teach you, I will. But let's get you through what you've got to get you through first. I'd love to teach you if you've got time.
You know what? I think I will have time once I've saved the world and before I go up and do whatever the fuck I'm supposed to be doing as a goddess.
Oh, right. Hey, I forgot you're supposed to be becoming a goddess afterwards. And you can see that she kind of lifts her hands to her head. She's like... Ah, fuck it. You're the same as everyone else by the time I'm through with you.
That's me. Humble, the same as everyone else.
You can see she's laughing. You don't know if she's laughing with you or she's laughing out of nervousness.
Or both.
So, do you need to rest up? Do you got to recharge your spells or anything? Do you want to go now? And she looks like she doesn't want to go at all. Do you want to go now or... Later, or what do you want to do?
Let's rest.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Set up watches?
I normally do the first lot, and then, you know, we rotate through. You guys rest. You're our guests. Just, I don't know, lay down or something. I'm sorry, I'm not particularly good at this shite.
All right.
Evening passes. The night passes. Is there anything anyone wants to do?
They slit our throats in the night.
I die.
I want to talk the nuances of blacksmithing with this lady.
Oh,
I've made a new friend.
Oh, this lady's converting you to her cause, and you're not you the other way around.
I was trying for you, Casey. I was trying.
I appreciated it. I could tell that she wasn't the right kind of like person for my religion. Otherwise, I would have tried a little harder. But
that's all right.
Listen.
Yeah, like she generally sits up with you like a good portion. This is something she's clearly very passionate about. And she spends a good portion of the evening talking about like what it feels like to strike hammers and turn like metal into like solid blades and stuff. Like she talks about like the delicate craft and how actually a lot of blacksmithing is just making horseshoes, and that's kind of boring to her, but she still like does it. It's just something she just has to do. Yeah, she spends a good evening talking about it, and she asks you about dwarven blacksmithing and how it's different and what you know about it. Like there is a lot of discussion here. You have made a potentially lifelong friend. However long are they lies when we laughed.
I had an idea just now.
Stylish horseshoes.
I'm gonna message you an idea.
Okay,
but I have a thought.
Okay, message me the thing, and then I will read it in a second.
Are you gonna strap horseshoes to your feet?
I'm not telling you.
Damn it,
Laffian. Is there anything you want to do this evening in particular?
Maybe.
Ooh.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is at some point Laffian's going to do like sit in like a meditative pose, and he's mm-hmm. going to use his phasing eye. So the third eye opens up on his forehead and starts floating out.
Gross.
Yep.
The phasing eye one can go through solid objects.
Yep.
So it lasts for an hour. He's basically going to use it to try to scout ahead as best as he can.
Okay.
He wants to like just get a general idea of the trench, any caves. If he comes across anything living, he wants to, like, see what it is.
Okie dokie. Your third eye erupts from your head, and you drop down into the trench. You find that same area that Teo and that Raoul noticed before, the cave that seems to be in the side of the mountain that is very well travelled. It's the first obvious place to look, so that's where you go. You travel down it, you take paths left and right, and after certain distances you realise that one place, it's just tools have been laid down, dropped in a hurry. There's nothing more beyond there. Another one seems to be a very big explosion that has happened, and there is a lot of scree on the ground. You continue travelling forward and down, and you find barracks, and you find remains of camps and places to sleep and eat and live. You continue further down, much further down, until you see ahead of you what is clearly a forge. It's a large, round room. In the very centre is the forge itself, and you can see that it is not currently lit. It's not hot enough to do anything, but you see all the tools around. You see the tools up on the walls. You see that, in fact, off to one side, there are even cages. You can see there are many entrances and exits to this area. But what really draws your eye is the creature that Lethera described. It is exceptionally tall and very big. It has two heads that seem to be snarling and snapping at one another. It has long arms that don't have hands, and exactly like described, they're more like squid arms. They're more like tentacles. Its legs are huge and covered in fur. There seem to be two heads snapping at one another and talking, but they just seem to be wandering and walking around this area. That's kind of what you really see. You don't see evidence of anybody else that is living here as you begin traveling around and probably moving on or perhaps just stopping here. You don't see evidence of anyone else around. You see where people were held in cages, and you see where people were living in the rest of this mine. You see where they were working, but there is nobody else in evidence other than this creature by the forge.
Okay.
What would you like to do? Or do you want me to come back to you in a minute?
I don't think I have any... I don't have any way to, like, find out what the fuck it is. Actually, I do. Sort of. Probably. Maybe.
Sure.
He's gonna, concentrate on the mental image of the creature, and then try to get in contact with Marnak and be like, Question mark?
Sensei! Sensei!
Question mark?
What? new creature, what this?
What this?
In response to new creature, what this? Wow.
He's old. He knows things.
He does. He's seen a lot.
He's seen some shit, man.
He's seen some real bad shit. Wow. Yeah. He would probably know a lot. Lisbeth would probably know even more. He tells you that staring at this creature... He tells you that staring at this creature is not a good idea. This creature exudes madness. Something that can stun you and hold you in place. Something that can cause great confusion. Something that, if you are not careful, can completely wipe your mind. To the point where you can only recognize your friends and maybe protect them, but language, communication, the ability to speak, completely gone. He tells you that this thing is difficult to hit. Mundane weapons will do fuck all against it. That's not how he phrases it. That's how I'm phrasing it. He tells you that this thing is not easily, if at all, frightened or charmed. No poison has been known to ever poison it. He offers a lot of caution and to not hold back.
Squash puts away his basilisk poison he had ready.
Okay. All right. That's good to know.
Don't we have a couple more of those terrifying melty potions?
No.
Terrifying what, sorry?
The ancient potions? No, we only had two.
Didn't we, like, make some or something? Ruin a potion in a certain way? I can't remember. I thought it had come up, but I guess not.
You guys were up to some shenanigans with Kythea, but I do not remember what it was. I may just be remembering when Kythea was testing the potion before the fight with Honorino. Not Honorino, with...
Dravos.
Dravos.
No one... Dravos, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if it's forgotten,
why does everything to do with Travis have music attached to it? All is bright. Fuck you, Neil. yeah, that's the information that he passes back to you about the creature image that you sent him.
Do you feel it, Mr. Arch?
When morning comes around, we're going to have a conversation.
Yeah.
I guess then Squash, are you doing anything in the evening?
No, I think he's like stuck between studying and staring at the sky, like at the stars. Being like in the middle of the fucking desert means there's almost no light pollution.
None whatsoever.
Sounds like we need two big collars for our new pet. This is going to be fun.
You cannot hug this, Neil, into submission. Oh, I'm sorry. You could try, but no.
But nat 20 hug.
But what if I roll nat 20s over give a and shit. Over?
Don't give a shit. Like, I won't let you roll for stuff that can't happen.
Hug the octopus. What's the worst that could happen?
I don't know what this thing is called, but I don't like it.
You shouldn't like it. It's awful.
It sounds awful.
It sounds I got more like and more excited the more octopus. I read about it.
And it's now like you I took have a fucking... my octopus plushie.
It sounds like you all took right. a Cerberus and an Illithid and, like, mashed
a
them together.
A Cerberus and a Displacer Beast and mashed them together is what it sounds like.
No, I promise no Displacer Beast. Yet.
Yes!
Displacer Beasts aren't that
Maybe
scary.
Maybe it has Displacer Beast friends. You just can't see them yet. They're still in their stalking. No, I'm joking. Displacer Beast and Displacer fight. No, fuck them. What is it? Is there anything anyone wants to specifically do before we do the, hey, we're awake and now Laffin has seen awful shit?
No.
Good bit of stargazing. Okay.
Yeah.
Ral, could you do your D6 roll, please?
Yes. Rawl is at this point like finishing up his egg project. I think.
Oh yeah, yeah, egg.
He's excellent.
I saw your D6 roll earlier for a 4, so we can take that. That's fine.
Oh, was that for today? Yeah, it was. Okay.
Yeah, that's for today. You did it before. Okay. I saw that. Yeah. Don't try and roll an extra one. I see what you're trying to do here.
Let me die.
No, Neil.
Rawl is a millennial.
Okay. Another day of potentially poison acid averted. Good job. Morning rolls around. Lethera is like making your food. She can't communicate as she did before because she doesn't have tongues. But you seem to, especially Zoltana, you seem to have gotten a grasp of like, if you need her to be there, she will have your back at certain points. Like, you've developed enough of her chemistry that you can probably do something with that. No problem. All right. Morning arrives.
So, I learned some things. Rawl, you're probably going to need to translate so that the others understand what I'm saying, if they're going to be coming down with us.
Okay.
Do I need to roll an insight on that? Okay, Neil.
No, I'm just getting ready to roll my con save.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Neil.
So we'll see how far I get into this translation is kind of my tentative. Okay. That was more Neil than Rawl.
So I did a bit of scouting last night. I got a very good look at the creature. And called in a favor to find out a bit more about it. It's bad. It's really bad. The best way I can explain it is you can't look at it. It has a tendency to drive people to madness. It potentially can wipe your mind to the point where the only things you recognize are your friends and can maybe protect them, but good luck with anything else. Language and such would become non-existent. He pauses and looks at Rawl and then promptly makes sure that he does not pass out at this point.
It's fine.
He's fine.
He's not fine at all.
Laffian's got like a hand on your back and is like trying to hold you up. Just like, no, I need you to finish translating first.
His translating turns into like
him ventriloquism. I'm just like pulling on your
babbling.
Back. And first, it's
just first he's like describing it as he's translating, and then it's forming more like a question. Like, are you kidding me? It can make you what? It can do this and this and this. And so they're getting it through these exasperated, like.
Yeah, as you're like, doing this, you can see the three of them equally like, wait, what? What do you mean? No, I don't like this. Like, you could just see them getting more wound up as well. Don't like it.
Don't like it.
It has never been poisoned, so don't even bother with any poisons of any sort. That's not going to work.
No poisons.
No poisons.
What?
No poisons.
Charming it and trying to frighten it, not going to happen.
No charming or frightening?
Wait, what? That's all right. I'm not charming anyway. It's fine.
It is very difficult to injure with non-magical weaponry.
Non-magical can't. You have to use magic weapons. Got it.
You see her like reach out, like she kind of like grabs Rao's arm and is like, I don't have anything that's not, I don't have anything magical. How am I going to hit this thing? How can we bloody useless?
I have a +1 I have a magic dagger.
Can I offer you a magic dagger in these trying times?
You see her, you like offer this dagger. She looks at the longsword, looks back at you, and like her massive arms. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with that?
I don't fight with weapons. I don't know.
She reaches out for the dagger. She has no idea what you're saying, but she understands that this is something that might be useful.
Oh, wait a minute. Actually, maybe this will work. Laffian reaches into his bag of holding and pulls out Rowena's ice pick. And is like, this is magical, technically.
She points at it like, hey, that's something a bit more up my street, and she takes the pick from you.
I want it back, though. That was a gift.
She shrugs at you. She doesn't know what you said.
Roll.
I was going to wrap my jacket around her sword. That was what I had.
That negates the point of the sword, Roll.
Well, yeah, I mean...
So that's it. There's nothing else. Can you ask him if there's anything else we need to worry about whatsoever?
Keep going.
I was told, basically, do not hold anything back. This thing is terrifying. Those tentacles hurt.
Don't hold back. It's bad and tentacles hurt.
And V, I have the memory of a goldfish right now. Did I miss anything?
No. I don't think so.
Poison. Charm, frighten.
I mentioned a bunch of stuff. I didn't mention everything, so there's only so much that they know between them.
Yeah. Charm. Poison.
Right. That's basically everything. Yeah. So
tentacles hurt. Madness. Don't look at it.
Why is it at the forge? Whose is it?
Knowing how things go,
what's it
the
doing?
Gods probably put it there against us. Actually, not the gods. Sorry. But you know.
Now, it's probably Kesa. Like, it's a fair bet that if this thing suddenly turned up out of the blue and your tasks kind of have been put together fairly recently to make this happen, it's probably a good bet that Kesa put something there that you need to deal with.
I just wish we could, like, drop a mountain on it or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have that kind of explosive firepower. I have some firepower, but not that much.
But then the forge, it'll be covered in the mountain.
Yeah, that's true also. Yeah, we're just going to have to go in with everything we've got, honestly. We have to just unload on this thing.
All right.
I don't know how perceptive this creature is, but I could turn us all invisible, at least that way we could get closer.
All of us.
Oh, let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you three, so that'd be 7 of us.
No. Those two are not. They're
really shite.
Oh, if it's just the 5 of us, then I'm fairly certain.
Also, that one, as she points at the old tabaxi, that's the one we need to keep alive, so that's not going in the bowl.
That's fair. Let me see. Close yourself, so you target 1 additional for every additional side point you spend. Lasts for 1 minute. Starts at 3, and then there's 4 more. So 7 side points. Yes, I could do it. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be able to turn all of us invisible for roughly a minute. The moment that anybody takes any action, though, it's going to drop off of you. But if we can get a sneak attack on this...
5 of you make your way down. You already have the rope that you climbed up, so it's fairly easy to make your way down. And it's a bit of a trek to get down to the forge itself. I'm going to get you to the point, like, at the edge, the precipice of shit that's happening. It's completely deserted, but Lothera seems to know where she's going. You've already travelled this path before with your wandering eye. At the forge, it's not lit, so it's kind of mostly here in darkness. Everyone can at least see in the dark now, so that's a bonus.
Yep.
Hey!
What you see is the creature that I've described before. But what you actually see is that there are 2 of them walking around this forge. You're at this point about, let's say, 150 foot up. Just so that you, if you want to do invisible stuff, you can do that. If you want to shoot from here, I know some of you probably can. Whatever it is you decide to do, I've given you some range. What?
There are 2 V.
Uh-huh. I'm just saying. There's 2 of them, guys.
I'm so sorry.
No. I'm so sorry.
Are they, like, walking around, or, like... Is this thing floating?
Let's have a look. One of them for sure is walking around. The other one just seems to be standing near the forge. Not particularly moving all that much. The other one is like moving around and paying attention to its surroundings. It's kind of lifting one of its like... The two heads are kind of snarling at each other, and one of them occasionally like lifts their head up and like sniffs the air and goes back to it. And then it will stop, and the other one will also then suddenly start moving and doing very similar things.
Okay, how do we figure out which one to attack?
Hold on, I'm going to try to figure that out.
Doesn't Laffian have one of those fancy monocle thingies?
That lets me see if there's invisible things.
Ow.
Are there?
Do I see anything invisible, V?
Fucking are there?
How far is your vision on it?
60.
You're 150 feet away. You don't see anything. 60 feet.
Questions. What? I don't trust
you're this. You're slowly losing his fucking mind.
I don't trust it. That was not a yes or no.
Okay, can I?
Easy.
We're not in combat yet. Can I?
We are not.
Use a spell. It is not a combat spell. It is a spell I would use on one of my companions.
Yes, you may.
I am going to touch Rall's shoulder and use Warding Bond. You get plus one bonus to your AC, and you are resistant to all damage as long as you're intoxicated with me.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to go in now.
I just figured you're the most likely to be up front and close with the guys. So,
Casey, that spell has a lot more to it than just those two aspects. Just be very careful with that.
This spell wards a willing creature you touch and creates a mystical connection between you and the target until the spell ends. While the target is within 60 feet of you, it gains a plus one bonus to AC and saving throws has resistance to all damage. Also, each time it takes damage, you take the same amount of damage.
I'm fine. I'm also the healer. I can heal myself while it works, okay?
Yeah, but we
yep,
might...
Fine.
The spell ends if you drop to 0 hit points or if you and the target become separated by more than 60 feet. It also ends if the spell is cast again and on either of the connected creatures. You can also dismiss the spell as an action.
It's okay.
So long as you don't cast it again or it's not cast on Rao by someone else, you're fine. Okay, cool.
Okay.
Remember this. This is gonna hurt. I love it. I love it so much.
I'm ready. I'm ready for it. I just think it's worth it to give Rall that damage resistance and the bonus AC. Real quick, before we go into combat, I'm blessing everybody.
Hashtag blessed.
What? I'm a paladin?
You're a paladin?
What? Wait! Casey!
What? I have spells. I don't just like fight things with a sword. I have spells other than smite. Holy shit.
You're the opposite of that meme where they're teaching Joey how to use spell slots as a paladin.
I was gonna say, have you been going through my passive aggressive memes recently?
No.
Okay, you bless up to 3 creatures of your choice within range. Whenever a target makes an attack roll or a saving throw before the spell ends, the target can roll a d4 and add the number rolled to the attack roll or the saving throw.
Guess what 3 creatures I am targeting.
I'm hoping your bestest buddies.
Two of the monsters.
No, I'm going to target the villains. No, I'm targeting our friends. Y'all for a minute, you now have... The blessed. Ability, you are now blessed
what
for a
minute.
What
does that look like? What does that look like? What does it look like when you create a warding bond between yourself and Rao and then bless your companions? What does this look like?
So when I create the warding bond, also I got to check these off so I remember that I have less that spell slot. Hold on. Those two spell
important
slots.
For the smites.
Yes, I know. But they're both really low level spell slots, to be fair.
Yeah,
so
they're
that's
good though.
Terrible.
They're really good.
Anyway. When I do the warding bond, I touch Rall and I touch him on the shoulder and like a little magical red, like it doesn't burn, but there's like a fire And when it disappears, there is a temporary mark of my wolf on Ral's shoulder now.
Nice.
And a mark of my wolf appears on my shoulder in the same spot. I mean, you can't see it because it's under all of my armor, but it's there. And then the other thing is that when I cast Bless, you guys all have fires appear above your head and sink down into you. And it's like very warming, but like you all get like this moment of like intense rage as it sinks down into you and then it settles.
Rage, rage!
Yeah.
I love it.
Against the dying of That's the amazing. Light.
I love it. That's amazing. Yes, all these things happen.
Okay. Squash, really quickly, close your eyes, and I want you to listen. Okay. When they're walking, I want you to tell me if the footsteps actually sound real.
Oh, if you it just motherfucker.
Looks like it is.
You motherfucker, that's a good one. That's a real good one.
Illusions can't interact.
V's looking up purple shit, displacer, beast, homebrew.
100%, I'm looking up my bullshit.
I need to, listen.
For my displacer spiders. Fuck you. You avoided my crabs with tools. Fuck you.
No crab rave.
All right, that's it. I'm turning on crab rave really quietly in the background for myself.
I do need you to make a perception roll for me, please.
Ooh, all right.
Doop. If you're trying to suss this out, I need you to roll.
Well, you're not going to be happy. Because I got a 23.
You have to listen for far longer than you think you needed to. You only just managed to figure out which one is real. And let's say it's the one on the left.
Squash has his eyes closed and then he just points like left and you can see he's pointing straight at the motherfucker that's actually real. Like, even with his eyes closed, he's pointing straight at it.
Okay, good to know. I'm going to turn us all invisible. We go in.
Cool.
And then we attack the thing. Remember, don't look at it.
Raul whispers and clinks his... He does like a little fisty bump with his tail because that's where his other... his
yeah,
other
that's where the other
bam
is, yeah.
And does his knuckle duster thing.
Yep.
Oh, you're marking it?
Yep. Death by any means necessary, for sure.
If it's going to die, yeah, I mark it.
Okay. I'm spending my 7 psi points and we all vanish.
Okay.
Oh, hold on.
You all vanish.
I had one more.
Okay.
Divine flavor.
Yes, you made divine flavor before. What's the taste today?
I don't know, V. I feel like you always come
white
up with
white chocolate cheesecake. Fuck you. Yep. There it is. The best white chocolate cheesecake you've ever tasted is the divine flavor of today. No, not frogs, Aethel. No. Is Squash doing anything pre?
I could make people bigger, but I don't think people want to be bigger.
Save that for Zoltana for later.
Yeah, like
Squash just wants to be way smaller.
Swollen in.
Okay. You all go invisible. About at the point where I put you, we were about 150 out, so you had enough range to do shit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. You go forward very quietly, very stealthily, one step after another, like kind of like staying close enough together where you can figure out each other you are. As you hit about... In fact, no. Can I have... One of you do a stealth check, please.
You know it. That's a natural 20, so a 35.
Oh.
Okay.
That wasn't even an advantage.
Nope, that was just that.
That wasn't even an advantage. You step forward, and you're all exceptionally quiet. You take steps forward. You get to about 30 feet forward, and then you just see all four of the heads, although Squash, you know one of them for sure is an illusion. You see all four of the heads look over in your general direction and just... move around a little bit, and then you see them like walking back. You take a few more steps. You get a bit closer. You're probably about 60 feet out now when you see the one that is real turn and look down into your eyes. You have been seen because it has true sight.
Fuck.
It's so
I would like everyone to roll initiative, please.
It's so fun knowing the creature and most of its stat block. It's infuriating.
Marnak's gonna get a complaint about this one.
Hey, he didn't know everything and he had to rely on Lisbeth for some shit. Like, he's old, but he doesn't know everything. He's not a walking encyclopedia.
That was infuriating because I knew this thing had true sight.
You were just gonna see how far I'd let you get, right?
So I was kind of hoping for like the creature seems to be pretending not to see you, and I could just go like,
yeah,
run. Yep.
All right. Okay. I'll let y'all get into mostly running distance. All right. So she also needs to make a. Oops, wrong button.
I genuinely don't know what the fuck this thing is.
It's the same. All right. Let's go. So I have that. Yeah. Great. So lair action is at 20.
Oh, God.
That's automatic. Lathera got 14. Ral, what did you get?
Dirty 20.
Ral got a dirty 20, and I got a 14.
Squash, what is your dexterity?
My dexterity is 21.
Okay, so Squash, you go before Lathera, who's at 14.
21?
Laffian, what did you get?
I had 20, and then we put the rapier on the stand.
Yeah. I got a 17.
Oh my god, Laff goes before a bunch of other people.
It's a first.
And Zoltana, what did you get?
I got a 1. A big fat 1.
Cool.
I don't want to go before things.
Let's see when my dude goes. Does he have anything for this? I don't think he does, actually. No, he doesn't. All right. He's a straight plus.
Got my dice ready.
All right. Well, there's 4 of them sitting at 14.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit. What should I... I'm just going to call this monster. Also got a 14.
End of the fucking layer. I hate this.
Oh, yowzers. All right.
V's gonna
top of
bully
the round.
Us.
You have been busted. You are clearly you're clearly yes. All right, Ral, top of the round. You may go first.
Oh, run and punch, V. Run and
okay.
Punch.
Cool.
Let's do it. And I get to do all of my punches, which is four. Four.
If you spend a key point, 4.
Yes. Well, yes, of course I am. 20 to hit.
Fail.
Fuck.
What?
Oh, you have damn on. I think you have advantage, correct?
Oh, bless.
Well, am I looking?
And bless. Yeah, I think damn gives you advantage. Let me check.
Aren't I looking away from it, though? Because I can't look at it.
Yes, you should be looking away, which means that your advantage is negated, so it should be rolling straight. You're correct.
But you do have a
D4. If you remember to, like, punch yeah. Not looking at it. But yeah, you do have a DF4.
That's 3 for 23.
That hits.
Okay. 13.
So the first one hits, doing 16 damage. The second one fails to hit.
What is divine flavor? D4. It's an additional 1.
Okay, 17.
Nailed it. Natural 20.
Cool.
For 16 plus 5 plus Amos.
24.
For 3, but I think that
plus
gets doubled. Plus
1d4 from Divine Flavor.
Plus d4.
Amos' love is not doubled,
oh,
but
okay,
the d4 is
doubled.
Doubled.
Okay. Oh, the d4 is doubled. Yeah, that's a lot of math.
So 34 right, damage.
So the
oh my goodness.
Yep.
Okay.
So the first one hits, the second one misses, the third one hits on a crit, and the fourth one, if you're spending the key point, which I'm assuming you are.
Natural 1.
Natural 1, so a failure. So what is the damage in total?
Oh my goodness.
You weren't keeping track of that, V?
No. You were adding numbers together and I'm hearing someone else add numbers together. It just blows my mind. Like, nope, not dealing with this.
34 and 17.
34 and 17, so that makes it 51.
Okay. Can I stunning strike on the two hits?
You can certainly try the first one.
I will certainly try the first one. Con save of...
All right, it needs to make a con save.
I think 16.
Yep.
It passes.
Yeah, okay. I will stop doing that.
Oh, okay.
I just think it's... I think it's beefy. I think it's...
You're tough. Right. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, it's pretty beefy on the con save.
Yeah, Raul would know from his fighting not to, like...
Yeah, I'm going to say, like, as given, as you punch it, you realize, oh, yeah, I am not stunning this thing at all. This is definitely not a thing. Yeah. Actually, I think I could have rolled advantage on that, actually.
Yeah, you do. That thing has magical resistance.
Oh, yeah, I could have rolled advantage on that.
Well, stunning strike's not a magic, though.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Oh.
Aethel knows exactly what this is. It doesn't matter. There are two heads.
It does not give a fuck.
Fuck's given a zero. Okay. You have learned that stunning is not really an option for you.
So maybe more
okay,
punchy.
Okay, but you have done a good amount of damage to it. Like, it's,
ooh.
You know, its leg is a little unhappy.
Yeah.
You're done?
Yes. Yeah, that's all I've got.
Cool. All right. All right, let's see what it can do. As a legendary action, it is going to lift its foot, and it is going to kick at you.
Oh, V.
For 24 versus your armor class. I'm going to say Sultana is in range. So.
Yeah.
Rip us both.
It hit.
Sultana's considering dropping that, like, ward. Like, oh boy, that's going to hurt.
Look, if there's one thing that is true about me and about Zoltana, it is that we are very committed to stupid decisions we make.
You should drop it at a certain point because you do know that Ra can just, like, not die with key points, probably.
True.
That's true. I might drop it. So I might drop it after this. I might drop it after this.
Depending on how much damage you take. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes an action to drop it, so I might.
Oh, fuck, we'll does it?
Okay. So you have resistant to damage, which means that you take half damage and Zoltana takes an equal amount of damage. So basically it kind of gets halved between you. You both take 15 bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
And you also take, both of you take 11 necrotic damage. Like, unless the ability specifically says your hit points are reduced with type of damage, I can't be dealing with the necrotic damage drops your health points. Unless I specifically say I can't be dealing with that shit. It's such a pain in the fucking ass.
It hasn't affected us.
Like, fucking
up.
Yeah, it hasn't affected us so far. I know that some people have thought, and Art sent me messages about it. Like, did you know? I'm like, yes, I know. I think it's crap. So I just want to put it out there. I can't deal with this level of maths. I'm sorry.
I don't think that's like an official rule either.
It's not, but it is one of those. It's a really common thing that folks do. So I'm like, all right, I get it. Anyway, so that's the end of Raoul's go. It is the end of its legendary go. It is now the lair action. The duplicate disappears.
Okay, cool. Who's the action? Is it next? You guys want to back me up on this?
The creature, one of its heads roars back and it releases this very loud roar that just messes with your senses and makes you feel completely disorientated. I need everyone, all the four of you, to take a wisdom saving throw, please.
I am so glad I decided to look over my character sheet again earlier.
Why?
On level 15, get access to Slippery Mind, which gives me advantage on all wisdom saving throws.
Oh, you motherfucker.
No, not advantage, proficiency. Sorry.
Oh, you motherfucker. Anything you have proficiency on, you have a minimum of 10, right?
No, only ability, skill checks, not.
Okay, great.
All right, okay. Everybody roll your extra d4, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
100%, you'll need this.
Oh, God, I probably failed.
Okay, let's start with the order on my screen, which is Lafian.
21.
Fail.
Oh, God.
Raoul.
32. Natural 20.
Well, quick question.
No fucks are given on your behalf.
Casey's still... Sultana still has the aura.
Aura.
Yes. Yep. Oh, every little helps.
Yeah. What's your charisma mod?
I didn't do it smart.
Four, I think.
I forgot I was doing a 1d4. Was why you were doing that. I forgot. I'm having a moment today.
You're allowed to have a moment.
Let me do my wisdom saving throw.
That means Raoul is on 36.
Yo!
All right. Let's go back. Laffium, with your plus four, what did you get?
Okay, with a plus four, I got a 25.
You succeed.
Oh, thank God.
Okay, Raoul, what was your total?
Oh, my goodness. 36? 30. It's a natural 20.
You definitely succeed.
Yay.
Squash.
23.
Are you sure?
I got 15 plus 4 plus 4.
You only just succeed.
Yeah.
And Sultana.
25, baby.
You also succeed. Lethera only just succeeds because of Sultana.
Oh, boy.
All right. Fun times. That lair action was wasted. I hate everything.
If both of us had failed that, Sultana, you would have taken like full damage because you would have taken more damage on top of my half.
Oh, it would have been so
bad. That's the end of the lair action. As it kind of like finishes roaring its head, that lair is done. I'm flavoring all the lair actions to be through it because it kind of makes a bit more sense. It hasn't been. Yeah. Okay. Laffian.
Hi.
You're 60 feet out.
Yep. I'd like.
What do you want to do?
I'd like to keep it that way.
Okay.
I don't like this thing. It's terrifying.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty bad.
All right. So I'm gonna use my my psionic mastery points to summon my fire elemental.
Okay.
So that's gonna put me down 26.
Whoosh! It appears.
And then I'm going to command the fire elemental to do some punchy boy attacks.
Okay. Punchy boy.
Punch, punch.
Go forth, punchy boy.
We punch.
Punch, punch.
Punch in tandem. Punchy boy. Ch-ch-ch-ch.
Fist bumps.
Punch,
punch,
punch, punch.
Fiery fist bumps.
First one is a 24 to hit.
That one hits. I assume it's a disadvantage if it's not looking at it. Does it have advantage for a reason?
Oh, no, it's just two attacks. I don't know if it... I don't know what would cause... I don't think I would tell it to look away because I'm kind of curious what would happen.
Okay, then it's just a disadvantage.
Oh, the attack's just a disadvantage?
Correct.
Oh.
If you're looking at it, you will have a disadvantage.
If you're...
In fact, also bad shit happens when you actually look at it, so...
Oh, so if you look at it, it's disadvantage, and if you don't look at it... Okay, all right, I don't like this thing.
Oh, yeah.
All right, never mind. In that case, it's a 12 to hit.
Fail.
And a 10 to hit.
Also a fail.
Yeah, this is not going to go well.
I believe that your fire elemental actually has an aura, right?
Yeah, the fire elemental is just gonna fucking hang out right underneath that thing's, like, ass.
Why is he going back there? You can punch him up here.
Okay, fair.
And it's an automatic, so it's gonna take 1d10 fire damage.
Okay,
so it takes two fire damage.
It doesn't seem to be as effective as you want it to be, but it does take damage.
And it's on fire.
Fantastic.
So at the start of its turn, it takes another d10 of fire damage until it decides to put itself out.
Okay.
And then, do I have any bonus actions?
Kill it. Kill it.
Bonus action, foul word, kill.
Kill, kill, kill.
That's my go.
Okay.
I'm not looking at it.
Okay, then. Nope, no worries. Not looking at it, therefore, no particularly bad things happen to you. Squash.
Can you paint me a picture of the room we're in?
You are in a kind of circular-ish room. At the very center, there is the forge itself, which has gone dead. It's gone quiet. There's no heat to it. There are multiple exits to this room that seem to lead to other corridors that go off fairly deep into the Earthdark. They all seem to slope downwards, apart from the one that you came along. Mm-hmm. On one side of you, let's say the right-hand side of you as you enter, you can see that there are some well-constructed cages, which, having looked at it, you can tell that they're prison cells, essentially. And you can see a lot of blacksmith's tools around and, like, for example, like metal ingots and such like.
Okay. Would there be, with the tool racks, with the tools are lying upon, would I be able to hide behind those? Would I be able to use the piles of ingots somewhere or the forge itself as cover?
100% the forge. Mm-hmm. If you keep yourself on the other side of the creature, mm-hmm. You could definitely use the forge as cover. You are small enough that I would allow that.
Could I make it there in a single turn?
You are currently 60 feet out.
All right, so no.
I will give you that you could get to the ingots in this turn, i.e., let's mm-hmm. say 30-ish feet away or something, and then the next turn you could make it to the forge and hide behind that. So.
All right.
I will meet you halfway, literally, in this case.
All right, then I want Squash to start, like, he starts moving towards the ingots and he's getting the hand crossbow of time out. And
yep.
As he reaches the ingots, he's going to take a second, calm himself, and then he's going to try, without the creature, almost used its name, he's going to try to, poke out from behind the ingots without the creature noticing him and make a sneak attack. I.e. I want to take then, a stealth roll against this perception.
Yeah. Okay, stealth roll versus perception. Let's do it.
Boop. That's another 20. I am so mad.
That's a natty.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You got a 35.
Yeah.
Oh, on any other day, this thing would have beaten you. You are hidden from it.
Oh, ooh. Shit.
Ooh. Its perception is high. I didn't realize its skill was that fucking high.
Oh, damn. Alright.
Alright, continue.
Then I want to make a sneak attack against
it. You are hidden this time round.
Yeah, I want to make a sneak attack against it on advantage.
Yep, go for it. So if you're not looking at it, it basically becomes neutral. You can take a sneak attack, but it can't be an advantage.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I'm going to roll.
Yeah, okay.
Because you can't really be looking at it.
Well, I would always get a sneak attack since Raoul is threatening it.
Raoul and the fire elemental are threatening it, yeah.
Yeah, so do I look at it? That's the real question. I want that advantage, but it might hurt. But I do have proficiency on wisdom saving throws, but I am outside of Sultana's aura range. There's a lot of things going on right now.
We just learned that you're going to have disadvantage no matter what the fuck you do. It's irrelevant.
You get fucked either way.
Am I? All right. Then I'm just hitting it with a normal hand crossbow of time. Boop.
Okay.
That's a 24 to hit.
That hits.
There you go. That is 36 piercing damage.
Right, sneak attack. I'd forgotten the sneak attack. Yeah. All right. Yeah, 36 piercing damage. It is a happy weapon. Okay.
It's a magical weapon, so.
Yep.
And for some reason.
And then 10 frost. Okay, 10 frost damage. The frost doesn't seem to do quite as much damage as you'd want it to.
Oh. Why does everything I fight have to be resistant to cold? and I think... yeah, I think I'm gonna use the effect of the crossbow. And mm-hmm. basically... in the same moment that Squash kind of pokes his head around the left side, he's going to poke his head around the right side using the magic of the crossbow. He's repeating the same action.
Yep, go right ahead.
Wait, I had a bardic inspiration, but I can only use it on like saving throws and shit.
You can add the number rolled to one ability a check, saving throw or attack roll.
All right, I'm adding a d10 on top of it.
The first attack we've dealt with, the second attack from your time crossbow bullshit, is 30 to hit.
Yeah.
With 35 piercing damage and 9 frost damage. The 9 frost damage doesn't appear to be quite as effective as you want it to be.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess then that's Squash completely done.
Alright, I'm done.
Okay, at the end of Squash's go, it uses a legendary action. And it will attack Raoul again. It seemed to do so well last time.
Just punch him across the battlefield.
23 versus your armor class.
Damn it. yes.
Okay, cool. Well, it hits then. Zoltana and Raoul, as it smashes into Raoul with its, as it kind of kicks it once again. Raoul and Zoltana, you both take... Make sure I actually use the right thing. Where is it? Aha, here we go. You both take 15 bludgeoning damage, and you both take 11 necrotic damage. Okay, it is now its go. I'm going to roll a d5. It's going to be alphabetical. So we have... Lethera is going to be 1, because that is L-A apostrophe. So the apostrophe in her name has saved, potentially saved your life, Laffian. Laffian, Raoul, Squash, and Zoltana. That's going to be 1 through 5. So it's going to aim at Squash.
What? What is it aiming at Squash?
It's aiming a spell at Squash.
Hey, V.
We can try.
What starts with a C and ends with a balance? No, wait.
Wait, what?
Answer the...
So, Kessie's amazing show, Counterbalance?
Starts with a C and ends with a spell.
You fucked up,
yeah,
my friend.
Yeah,
you
I fucked that joke up.
I got confused. I was like, wait, how am I involved in this?
I don't know what happened in my brain there.
It is going to attempt to cast a spell. I would give you the first shout at trying to defend it, and then I'll tell you what it is if you manage.
I don't care what it's throwing at me. I have a reaction that I intend to use to try to stop this thing from blowing me apart with magic. All right. So I'm going to cast Counterspell using the Eye of Winter, so I don't use up a spell slot.
Correct.
Counterspell requires me to roll... let me see.
Spell casting ability check.
All right. That's my intelligence... Plus proficiency plus...
I believe it's just your intelligence, I think.
It's proficiency.
If casting a spell of 4th level or higher, make an ability check using your spell casting ability.
Oh, shit.
Which is intellect, which is just 4, correct?
Yeah.
You only get a plus 4 on your roll.
1d20 plus 3.
Oh, your intellect's only 3. Of course, yeah.
It was never supposed to be 11. I have an inspiration I could use, but I don't know how bad this is.
Everything about this thing is bad.
I know, but it's like, I could save this inspiration. Like, I rolled an 8. Like, that's not bad. Like, there are many numbers below 8.
Okay. I will tell you what you feel.
Yeah.
And then you can decide if you want to use inspiration. And if you fail, then I will let you roll. How about that? Because this is a save.
Okay.
Okay, you feel your mind shattering, losing all real idea of who you are, your intellect, your ability to speak. You lose your idea of who you are. Your personality is completely wiped. It's feeble mind.
Yeah, I know. I'm inspired. Like, I'm trying again on inspiration before I have to make the intelligence safe. I've got a good chance at this.
There's a reason why I randomly rolled. I didn't want to specifically, like, I aimed at Laffian because it's a smart one. Nope, I will randomly roll for this. This one's too horrific to leave down to me.
That's a 12 on my counterspell. That's not
a fail.
All right.
I need you to make a an intellectual saving throw, I believe.
Fuck, why did I run away
exactly
from...
That this is what it is.
Casey.
Yeah, must make an intelligence saving throw.
Okay. That is a 20 plus 3. So that is a 23.
You feel this effect begins to take hold. And as you realize that you don't remember who you are and what you are, you shake it off. You just pass.
Rogues have proficiency and intelligence saving throws for some reason.
If it wasn't for hashtag bless.
Yep.
If it wasn't for that primal rage you felt when someone else is on you, you'd be a fucked guy.
Oh.
It looks super pissed off and annoyed, but it is the end of its go. Okay, it is now Lethera's go. Lethera is going to just go fucking hog wild and just... try and attack the shit out of this thing. She lifts the pickaxe high and she smashes into the side of it. You can see it leaves like a really deep gash in the side of the creature. She pulls it out and she, I believe that she can attack twice at your level, right?
Yes?
Yes, she has extra attack at your level. She lifts up the pickaxe again and she goes to smash it in the back of the knee for a natural 20. Yes! And she pulls it back and you see like this spray of blood just like going everywhere over the back of the forge, as she does a significantly okay amount of damage to it. Yay, I can't believe she managed that. Fuck me.
Is she staring straight at the motherfucking thing?
Nope. She did a good, guys.
Impressive.
Yeah, she did a good. All right, she's not going to action surge. She might save that for when they, you know, a bit further along in the fight when things are there, maybe a bit more promising. All right, that's the end of her go. His legendary actions are reset. Am I going to make him use it this time?
No.
Nope, no, he's not. Okay, it is now Zoltana's go.
I think that the smartest thing for me to do here... is to drop my warding bond, which
yep.
is an action.
The kind of the things on your shoulders, they just disappear. They just drop off. Yes, unfortunately, it is an action to drop warding bond.
But then I'm going to take my bonus action to turn on my divine wrath in preparation.
Fair.
And you get next to it, right? You get next to it, right?
And I get next to it. So that Arch can direct me against it if he wishes.
Okay.
Because I think I know what's going to happen next, and I think I know what Arch is planning, and I'm in for it. If you're going to do what I think you're going to do, please do it.
I only have one trick.
Punch.
He's a one-trick pony.
But it's a trick I like a lot.
Me too.
Say the line.
I don't carry weapons. You guys are my weapons.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's not true. I do carry weapons, just I don't use them.
Right. Okay. Yes, you have done that. You have activated Divine Rage. Everybody in your radius. What is the radius of your saving throws, your aura? I think it's 10 feet,
it's
right?
It's like 10 or 15 feet. It's ridiculously small.
Zoltana might be at the level where it's increased, though.
I don't see anything about my aura increasing by any levels.
Oh, no, it's at 18th level that the range has increased.
Yeah, it's just normal aura of protection. I'm just reading the same thing.
Yeah.
Soon-ish.
So it's 10 feet.
That is super important because we have two people outside the range.
Yep.
I'm up next to them now.
Yeah, you're up next to Ral and Lothera, and funny enough, the fire elemental, but unfortunately Squash and Lifeline are still out of it because they're too far up.
That's okay.
All right.
Too bad.
Yep,
so sad.
It's great.
You're fucking lost.
Love it. Love it. Wait.
Yeah, babe.
I'll remember that next time I attack you with stuff. Okay.
Nope, don't remember it.
At the end of Sultana's go, the creature makes a legendary action, and it will attack Zoltana, who just appeared in range.
Hey, that's me.
Hi.
How about we don't do that? You know, I'm just gonna make an argument real quick. You know, sometimes you don't have to do that.
That's pretty good.
It doesn't
Thank
care
you.
As it lifts its big stompy foot to kick you in the face for a 29 versus your armor class.
Jesus.
You know what? That hits because I am a baby. I'm not a baby, but like,
okay.
It's just, I really need to like up my armor, man, because I'm only at like 18. Or no, not the 18. Like, I'm a little bit above that because I have some stuff. But, like, I really need to up my armor, man.
Don't you have a shield that can,
you
like, magically fly
31.
Around you?
31.
I do have a shield. What? With my shield, how much do I have? I don't think I have 29, though. That's definitely...
You do not.
Oh.
You take 31 bludgeoning damage and 11 necrotic damage.
Jesus of fuck.
That's its go over. Oh, correction. That's its legendary over. 31 bludgeoning. And 22 necrotic.
Wow, good job, Casey. First thing I'm doing next round is healing myself. so hopefully.
Yeah, you'll get the attacks through Laffian in a minute.
Because I just so happen to currently be at a... It was okay. It was how much again? I'm sorry, my brain is just not working. Nurses, okay, that's wait, one I got it. So I just so happen to be at less than half my current HP. So this was just not a smart decision all around time for Casey.
Ral, what would you like to do?
Oh, I'm going to
fucking kill it.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Please.
That's the plot.
This thing terrifies me.
Yeah, I don't know if it's smart for me to aggro it more or try
it
to.
It is.
Is it though?
You can't die.
Can't I though?
Well, you're not just
it may or may not have power word kill.
It doesn't have power word kill.
You are gonna be fine.
It only if it had power word kill, I would points. Already be
you
dead.
You can't be fucking
well, what
dead.
Kind it's... of action would it take for me to like do a cool performance flip or something and like show off and get it pissed off?
You want to taunt it? That'll be like intimidation or persuasion, I guess.
This thing's huge, right?
Yes, this thing is huge. It's like 8-9 feet.
You can do like
fucking
cool
massive.
Acrobatic like jumps off its stupid like body.
Yeah.
Heads.
Tickle it. Tickle it.
Like, yeah.
Like yeah. Fucking dab on that motherfucker with your feet.
Yeah, it's yeah. I don't have any good stats other than like performance in acrobatics. So unless I could performance it, I don't think it's worth trying.
Okay.
And it would take up at least a bonus action for punches to do said cool thing. So I think just doing damage right now is probably the best, even though it's tempting to just do some extra nonsense. Like I said last time, every time I try that, it's just like, I should have just done damage. So I'm just going to punch it. Here we go. Natural 20. See what I mean?
Jesus fucking Christ, Neil. You get to roll 2d4 for divine flavor.
And an additional d8.
Yep.
Alright. 2d4 is 3 and the d8 is 4.
28.
The fire damage doesn't feel as effective as it is, even though it's only one fire damage.
Okay. Thanks anyway, Ama. Okay. Roll again for another punch. 29 to hit.
That one also hits.
For 14 plus 3 plus 4 for the d4.
Mm-hmm.
Another punch is natural 20.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Haven't you got
you're not even crit farming. You're not even on advantage. You should have an advantage, but you should have disadvantage. And you're not fucking... Fuck, what the fuck, man? Anyway, continue with your damage. You get to roll two extra d4s and a d8.
The two d4s are 6, and the extra d8 is 5 damage.
36.
I've lost track of the damage at this point.
It's all right, I've got it. All right, I've got it.
Okay. And then
the
fire
damage is only half as effective as you think
it's
it is.
It's 34.
Okay. Thanks, Ema.
Yeah. Yeah, I already had that. I've taken down the damage for the
speaking
other
of which, I forgot. At the start of its turn, it was supposed to take a little bit of burning damage.
Oh. Yeah, go for it.
Sorry, Neil.
Every little helps. I will allow this. I will allow this retro. Like, I will allow this. 2 fire damage. It's only half as effective as you thought it once was. Sorry.
And then my last punch.
Please.
Your last punch
20.
Is a what? Neil,
please.
It's a
you lost what? Is it what, Neil?
It's a natural 20.
You motherfucker.
That's 3, Neil. 3.
Roll extra blessed damage and roll an extra d8, please. Okay, so that's 11 plus 9. So that's 20.
What is happening?
20 plus 8, 28. So that's 28, technically 27, because the fire is only half as damage.
Thanks, Ema.
Fuck. Fuck's sake.
Can I just
how
say
how much was that in total?
He did a lot. He did a lot. So I'm going to go with he did a lot.
Can I just say how
fucking
jealous I am because my bow gets stronger every time I hit a crit? but I've literally crit once since I've gotten it, and otherwise I'm just like critting like crazy outside of combat. And it's so fucking upsetting.
I rolled 3 natural 20s right. and an 18.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you did all the super punches really, really hard, and you didn't hold back at all. You punched it in that, like, hole that the Thera had, like, managed to, like, cut in the back of its knee with the pick. You just, like, go to town adding extra damage in there. So you spent key points. That was your bonuses. That's your actions. I'm assuming you're not moving anywhere.
No, I'm good.
Great, cool. At the end of your go.
Fuck.
It takes one of its legendary actions, and it is going to attack. No, you're still hidden. Actually, you're not hidden at all. It is going to attack Zoltana. Like, no, Raoul. Raoul, like, fucking punched the shit out of it. Like, makes no thematic then. It has to attack Raoul. I'm never going to kill you, but it makes sense. Oh, Jesus Christ. 35 versus your armor class.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah? That one hits?
Yeah.
Nice.
It does.
All right. Because your damage against you is no longer halved, you take 31 bludgeoning damage and 22 necrotic damage as it kind of kicks you in your, like, center mass area.
Not looking good, y'all. Ouch. I'm going to go to the stalking plane.
You're just going to disappear?
Yeah.
All right. Y'all see Raoul basically kind of just heat haze out of existence temporarily. You're seeing everything in, like, super slow-mo sepia tones. You see the specters all around you, just like hands up to their faces looking uncomfortable, apart from the two ones for Zoltano, just like look like they don't give any fucks. They're just like, fuck yeah, this is rad. They have confidence in you. Everyone else is terrified.
Wait, no,
all
fuck.
Right, cool.
No.
What?
Cool.
I can't make you attack when you're in.
Oh, fuck. Damn it. All right.
I can't make you attack if I can't see you.
Yeah. But also, I believe that was your reaction to go into the thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Double
kill. Wouldn't matter anyway. All right. Sweet merciful juice. It is the Lair's go.
No, stop.
One of its heads looks forward and looks down at all of you. You see the eyes swirl purple and dark blue and then black as it casts a series of darkness all around. One focused on where Laffian is standing, one focusing on where Squash is standing, and two of them directly under its feet. All of you are in magical darkness.
Ugh. Hi everyone, Raoul here. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed. Wish us luck in the combat next episode, I guess. So here in Kino, we also have the other campaign we hope you are listening to. We have had a lot of fun making that one. And if you haven't listened to the Kino campaign, it's a good time to go take a listen. Some of our patrons are actually getting early access to the Kino campaign. It's a good way to support the show, and it helps us make all of this possible. So thank you all so much for your support. And thanks to Matt Hartwood and Panda for their support on Patreon as well. Thank you so much. If you would like to join them in supporting us on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/tldpod, where there are many tiers. Anything that you can give is very appreciated, and we love everyone's support very much. So thanks to all of our patrons. We will see you all next episode. Wish us luck. Thanks. Bye.
In a world with many podcasts, pilfering dungeons and slaying dragons, there is one where heroes come in many shapes and sizes. Small and large, guests and regulars. Their challenges vary from world to world as it touches many realms. From a world reaching the breaking point, to another where adventurers find the attitude to claim the power inside and save the day. To yet another where fiction has breached the walls of reality. Dungeons and Pop is a tabletop variety podcast which showcases pop culture in formats both in-game and out, as we strive to not be your typical D&D. We utilize a number of third-party supplements and homebrews, such as lasers and liches for D&D. We release alternating arcs and segments every Wednesday morning and can be found at
dungeons-and-pop.pinecast.co. It can also be found on your favorite podcast player of choice, and we are also located on the Cast Junkie server.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.